We have reached Mark chapter 9. And I ask you a question. Would you like to see Jesus as he really is? Would you like to see the glory of Jesus? In this passage, we read of three men who did. Three men who were the eyewitnesses of his majesty. I want to read to you again those verses which we had in our Bible reading a little earlier. Barua yapili ya Petro. Many, many years later, Peter wrote about this time. He writes in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 16. He says, "We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." These are not invented stories. Peter says, this is what we saw, this is what we heard. And it's believed that actually Mark Ambao Aliandika in Jilihi, that he was very close to Peter, that he was one who worked alongside him. And actually, Peter gave him the task to write down what he had heard and what he had learned from Peter in this gospel. These men saw, but what did they see? What did it mean? Remember, Jesus has been telling them of his sufferings. Remember that Peter has said, "Wewe akweli ni mwana wa Mungu, wewe ni mkristo." And then Jesus begins to teach him what the Christ should do, that he should suffer, he should die, he should rise again. And if you want to be a disciple of Jesus, you also must take up your cross, you must follow him. You must die to your life in this world. Remember what we learnt last week. You cannot have glory now. Ukitaka kuwa umkristo, hakuna utukufu sasa, lakini badaye, lazima tu ungoje, na tuendele. We must die to our lives in this world, and then we will receive them. And Jesus said in the last verse of chapter 8, Telethene nanane. He said, "The Son of Man, I'm coming in my glory. I'm coming with the holy angels. I'm coming to judge the world." You must wait. You must be patient. You must go the way of the cross until I come. But now, verse 1 of chapter 9, I mean, it's the same. It's the same day. It's the same time. He says, "I tell you the truth. Some of you, you will not die before you see my kingdom coming with power." Now note, he doesn't say me coming with the holy angels in the Father's glory, because of course all the apostles died long ago, and he has not yet come in glory for the day of judgment. But he says, "You will see the kingdom of God come with power before you die, some of you." Now Judas, he died even before Jesus was crucified. But the rest of them remained until the great day of Pentecost, when at last they saw Jesus' kingdom come with power. He had been rejected, he had been crucified. But he's speaking of the day of Pentecost. Then afterwards, the gospel would be preached. Many would believe. Jews would come into the kingdom. Samaritans would come into the kingdom. And Gentiles would come into the kingdom. And now, not only in Israel, but going throughout the world, would be the kingdom of Jesus. People would believe. Families, communities, and even nations would be changed by the kingdom of God coming with power. And Jesus says, you'll see that. Yes, there's going to be death, but you'll see my kingdom coming with power. And now when we look at these verses, which we have today, it's like a little taste. Imagine I came and said, we're going to have a banquet. Come and we'll have a banquet. We'll feast together. But, you know, it's going to be later. But today, I just bring you a little taste. I just bring you a little of the food. And you'll taste it and you'll say, what wonderful food. I must wait for this banquet. I must make sure I'm ready when the feast comes. And that's a little of what we have in these verses. Just 6 days later, verse 2. Jesus just takes a few of them. Peter, James and John. He takes them private, up a mountain, a high mountain, where they would be alone. Verse 2. These verses are about Jesus being revealed. If you're taking notes, you can put that as the first point. Here in verses 1 to 4, we see Jesus revealed. And the word we have in verse 2 is transfigured. Perhaps you've heard the word metamorphosis. And the word used here is actually the word metamorphosis. It means a change, meta, of appearance, morphosis. Maybe you say something morphs. It's the form, it changes. It says he was transfigured before them, which means his appearance, his form then changed. And now they saw Jesus as he really was. What happened? Well, verse 3. His clothes became dazzling white. So white, you could never clean them, you could never bleach them. You could never make them so white, they shone. One of the other gospels says that his face shone so brightly, as brightly, more brightly as the sun. What's the brightest thing you could ever look at? It's the sun in the sky. But don't look at it because you'll damage your eyes if you look at it too long. But as bright as that. In the scriptures, we see that God has made brightness and light to represent something of his glory. And when God's purity, when God's holiness, when the dazzling brilliance of God's pure character, when these things are to be shown to us, it's in this way, as brightness, as whiteness, so pure, so clean. Jesus now shows them his true glory. It's been veiled from them. It's been covered and hidden because he's come as a poor man. He's come as a carpenter. He's come as a preacher who's despised. He's come to be rejected by the leaders of the nation. And so his glory has not been seen openly with the eye. But now he shows it to them. They see Jesus as he really is. It's interesting that he waited until now. Why not before? Why not those 2 to 3 years in which the disciples have been with him? And they've been so slow to understand. And people are saying, who is he? But that's the way of Jesus. You must learn who Jesus is and trust him by faith. You must believe his word. You must believe the testimony. And only later will you see him with your eyes. Only later will you see him as he really is. If we did some great miracle now, if we could open the heavens and show you the glory of God, then surely every person here would say, I must follow, I must obey. But it wouldn't be in your heart. It would just be what you've seen with your eyes. Jesus does not want followers who just follow him because they've been forced to. because they've seen something so incredible that they have no choice. Jesus wants you to follow him because you know his word is true. Because you know that you're a sinner. Because you know, yes, you need a savior. Because you know it's this savior you need who died on the cross. And then you'll follow him because you love him. And then you'll see his glory later. But Jesus showed his glory, and it's the glory of God. And so we testify to you, to follow Jesus is to follow God. To reject Jesus is to reject God. What else happened on this mountain? At verse 4, Elijah and Moses also appeared, and they were talking with Jesus. The scriptures of the Old Testament, the Jews, they called them the Law and the Prophets. And you can find that in your Bibles. We look at Book of John, chapter 1. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 45. Philip, one of the disciples, found Nathanael, became another of the disciples, and Philip told him, said, "We have found the one that Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." The nation of Israel was born when the law was given through Moses. Moses was their great leader who led them out of Egypt, who brought them freedom from slavery at the Exodus. And then the law was given through Moses. After the time of Moses, the prophets were given. And those prophets called them back to faithfulness to God, called them to repent, called them to be loyal to the God of Israel. But they wrote about far, far more than this. They wrote, as it says here, they wrote about the Messiah. They wrote about the one who was coming, the one who we now know as Jesus of Nazareth. The law and the prophets testify to Jesus that he is the Christ. The law tells us that we need salvation because we're sinners. Because it shows us how holy God is and how far, far away we are. And then it testifies too about the one who is coming, the Saviour. And so here Philip says, "We found him, it's Jesus." They wrote about him. Now Elijah was in some ways the greatest of the prophets. He did very many miracles. Not many did in the Old Testament. You'll actually find there's not many times of miracles. But Elijah lived at a great time of miracles, and many were done through him. Elijah called back Israel to faithfulness at a time when they had fallen away. So who's speaking to Jesus? Well, it's the representatives of the Old Testament. It's the representatives of the law and of the prophets. Here they are, come to testify to him. A Gospel of Luke in chapter 9, verse 31, tells us what they spoke about. Luke also tells us about this. It says, "Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure," or his death, "his leaving this world, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem." That's Luke chapter 9, verse 31. They came, they didn't speak about what they had done. They didn't speak about Mount Sinai or the miracles of Elijah. They came to speak with him about Calvary, about what he would do when he laid down his life for the sins of the world in Jerusalem. So Jesus has just been saying to his disciples, "I'm being rejected. I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to die. I'm going to rise again." And now when the law and the prophets appear, the law and the prophets appear in the persons of Moses and Elijah, they speak to him about that also. Because the death of Jesus is the great subject of the Bible, is the great subject of even the law and the prophets, especially the law and the prophets. Jesus himself said, and quoting Matthew chapter 5 verse 17, Jesus said, "You must not think I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish them. I have come to fulfill them." He's come to complete them, to do everything that they said. When the glory of Jesus was revealed, the law and the prophets testified about him and his coming death at Calvary. Do you know him as he really is? Do you know what God wants you to know? Where can you see the glory of God revealed? It's in Jesus. And it's especially in his death at Calvary. It's where he suffered the wrath of God for sinners. That is the great thing God wishes to reveal to you about himself. It's all to be found in Christ and his work at Calvary. Now, what are you seeking from God? What do you want from God? Can I ask you that question now? What would you want from God? Well, God wishes you not to seek his blessings so much as to seek his Son. Because all the true blessings of God are found in his Son. When Jesus revealed his glory, it wasn't money, it wasn't power, it wasn't fame, though he has all the true riches and all the true power. But it was in himself, fundamentally, in himself, and in what he was going to do when he died on the cross. Well, now let's come to verses 5 to 8. Here we see Jesus honoured. Jesus honoured. If you were there on the mountain and you saw Jesus change and glory revealed, if you saw Elijah, if you saw Moses, what would you say? What would your response be? Well, Peter's is in verse 5. Alisema, walimu. Let's put up three shelters, or three tents, three tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. What do you think of that? What do you think of the suggestion? Well, verse 6 tells us Peter was not really thinking, or he did not know what to think. They were so frightened at what they had seen. After Peter had spoke, another voice spoke. Verse 7. A cloud appeared. Don't think of a rain cloud. Think of a glory cloud. Like came down on the mountain at Sinai when the law was given. A cloud of glory came and covered them. And a voice came from the cloud. So now you're hearing the voice of God himself from heaven. This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him. Then verse 8, they looked around, they see Jesus only, Elijah and Moses, Walitoka. Jesus was not to be compared with Elijah or Moses. Did you hear that in what Peter said? He said, let's have three tents. Jesus, Elijah, Moses. The voice says nothing about Elijah or Moses. It says, this is my Son. Hear him. Moses and Elijah were servants in God's house. And any pastor, any preacher, any Christian at all is a servant in God's house. But Jesus is the Son over God's house. He's the heir. He is the one with all the glory. He is the one whom we all serve. Jesus only then is seen. This is my son whom I love.
Now,
do you remember those words? Have you heard them before? Now, this is some time ago, isn't it? But do you remember Sura ya Kwanza ya Injili? Yesu ali baptizwa? Nabadaya badaya ubaptizo? The heaven was open. The Spirit came down on him. Mark chapter 1 verse 11. A voice came from heaven. You are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased. It's the same words, isn't it? Say, here's my son whom I love. This is the one with whom I am well pleased. So when Jesus began his ministry at baptism, God testified. Now that Jesus is now looking to Jerusalem, now that the time has come for him to begin going there, ready for his death, the voice testifies again. And the testimony has not changed. The testimony does not change, friends. Many places you can go to and you can hear it said, God is doing a new thing. God is doing a new thing. But let me tell you, God isn't doing a new thing. He's doing the same old thing. He's saying, here is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Have you heard the voice of the Father? Can you say, Yesu, ndio, ninampenda? He's the one for me. I love him with all my heart. His word is truth. He's pointed me the way to heaven. Oh, all that he did was to save me. He's opened the way to heaven. Everything he ever did was for me. He lived for me. He died for me. And so I love him. And now I'm his. I'm his disciple. I must obey him. There's nothing I can do for him that's too much. Everything he teaches, I must hear. Do you agree with the voice of the Father? Would you like to hear the voice of God speak? Well, this is what it would say. Actually, there's one more time in the Scripture, in the New Testament, where God the Father speaks. But actually, it's the same. It's to honor Jesus as he's about to go to the cross. You can find it in John chapter 12, but we don't need to go there now. But it's the same every time. To show, yes, Jesus is the one. Let all the people of the world know. If they want to obey me, they must obey Jesus. If they want to see my glory, they must believe in Jesus. This is your job when you testify to others. You know, if God has brought you through some problems, it's good. Give thanks. Tell people, no, it's God. It wasn't me, it's God. But that's not the great part of our testimony. The great part of your testimony must be Jesus. That he's the Son of God, that he saved you from your sins. That he died for you at Calvary, and now you belong to him. And you want nothing more than to belong to him, now and forever. That must be your testimony. When the skies opened and God spoke, it was God's testimony. That Jesus was the one, and that we must hear him. Is that your testimony too? Nisome neno nchache ya barua ya Filippio na sura ya tatu. Philippians chapter 3. Hear the testimony of the Apostle Paul. Chapter 3, verses 7 up to 10 and 11. Philippians 3, 7 to 11. Here's the testimony of an apostle. It says, whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul says, I've seen this world's glory. I used to think it was great, but now I think it's rubbish, because I've seen the glory of Christ. And I'm willing to lose everything in this world if I can gain that glory in Christ. And then in the resurrection, I'll share in that true glory when everything in this world is gone. Well, verse 8 tells us that the glory passed, the revelation passed, the cloud went, and now they saw Jesus only back as he was. But the truth remains. Friends, by faith have you seen Christ? You've seen him in the Saviour and you've trusted him. And you had great joy believing in him. Your sins are forgiven. But perhaps now it's like darkness has come again. And it's a time of trouble. And you're thinking, what should I do now? Where should I go now? Well, remember, in the darkness, the truth is the same as in the light. Don't forget what you saw in the light. Hold on to Jesus in every time of darkness, in every time of trouble. Or when you get up in your house and it's nighttime and you want to find something, you want to find where your torch is, you want to find a way to the door, perhaps, to get outside. But you know where everything is, don't you? Even if it's dark, you know where it is. You can feel your way. You can get there. Jesus is still the same. Whatever you feel, however your life is going, Jesus is still the same. Don't forget what you've seen in the light. Remember it and go forward, even when you feel you're in the dark. Now look at verses 9 to 13. The glory has gone. That is, it's gone to the eyes. It's still there, but the eyes can't see it anymore. What will Jesus now talk to them about? Verse 9, he tells them not to tell it to others until he's risen from the dead. And it's not the time for glory now. He must go to death, and then he will rise. Verse 10, they don't understand it. What does this rising from the dead mean? Verse 11, they have some confusion. The scribes, the teachers of the law in Jerusalem, were telling them all to expect Elijah to come back. Well, they've just seen Elijah, but it seems he's gone again. So what does it mean? The Old Testament said that there would be an Elijah. In fact, the very end of the Old Testament, book of Malachi, the final words of the book of Malachi, God says, I'll send you the prophet Elijah. And he says he's going to bring back God's people. He's going to reconcile the scattered people of God again. But what does this mean? They ask him. You should always take your questions to Jesus. Ask him in prayer if you don't understand. Verse 12, Yesu Alijibu says, surely Elijah does come first. But what about the sufferings of the Son of Man? Verse 13, Elijah has come. They've done to him everything they wished, just as it is written about him. Gospel of Matthew says, then they understood. Did you understand? He means John the Baptist. John the Baptist is the one who came before Jesus. He was the one who called the faithful ones back together again. Called them to repentance, made them ready for the Messiah. But just like Elijah called unfaithful Israel in his time, Elijah didn't come as a king in Jerusalem, but he came out in remote places. So John the Baptist didn't come as one of the leaders in Jerusalem, but came out in the desert, called them back to repentance. But because he was faithful, he suffered. Verse 13. They have done everything to him they wished. What happened to John the Baptist? He was executed. His head was cut off by Herod, wasn't it? And the Pharisees rejected his teaching too. The same thing then is in these verses, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. The way of faithfulness is the way of suffering. The true Elijah came, and he suffered. The Son of Man, that's Jesus, before he receives his kingdom, must suffer. You can't have your glory now. You can't, you really can't. You must be willing to suffer, to be patient until the time of Jesus' choosing. This happens in little things, it happens in big things. When a church is looking to spread the gospel in a town, there must be times of hardship, of testing, of slow growth, of problems, of setbacks, before the blessing comes. You must trust in Jesus now, before you see his glory, when the day comes, when he returns, or when you die and enter heaven. It's always God's way. Because the world is full of sin. We can't have our glory now. This is what Jesus speaks them about. He says, I've shown you. Remember it. Because the time will come. Have you trusted in Christ? Have you seen who he is? Will you follow him? Even if you don't get your glory now. Will you obey God who spoke from heaven and said, this is my son. Hear him. It's an awful thing to reject the voice of God. But now, if you are a believer, you must go the way of the cross. You really must. It's the only way. Christ opened the way to glory. It's the way of the cross. Friends, follow that way. Be determined. Don't go to the left. Don't go to the right. Follow and obey Jesus through sufferings, the way of the cross, and then you will arrive in glory. Amen.